Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see everyone here. I believe it's time to dismiss Blast. So go ahead and send the kids back for Blast if you like. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord works in mysterious ways. Does everybody believe that the Lord works in mysterious ways? That kind of goes along with, you might be asking yourself, what's he doing up there? I'm asking myself the same question. When I was in high school, before many of you were born, I went to the youth group at First Baptist Church in Collinsville, Illinois, and Steve and Linda Hampsch were the youth sponsors, or some of the youth sponsors. So I spent some time in their house, in their basement, being mentored by Steve and Linda Hampsch. Well, I've been going to the family group at Steve and Linda Hampsch's house lately. So here it is, only 46 years later, and I'm still in the basement of Steve and Linda's house being mentored by Steve and Linda Hampsch. So that's through First Baptist in Collinsville. Well, there's another First Baptist church I attended. My wife and I attended for a while. And that was First Baptist here in Highland. And that's where we first met Bill and Chris Dempsey before Bill had even been saved. I didn't know that at the time, but he has since told that. So two First Baptist connections for me. When I became aware there were going to be some open weeks where Bill was on vacation, I thought, well, you know, maybe I could fill one of those. And it just kind of happened by chance. I was at my favorite thrift store, and I found this little magazine on biblical insights. And there was an article in there I thought was pretty interesting. It's about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's all a story we've all heard sometime or other, probably in Sunday school, the first time you hear about it now and then. But it's in Acts 8, and the book of Acts is all about how the gospel is spread, you know, after Christ. And there's some persecution in the early church, and a lot of the disciples were scattered. And Philip, he went into Samaria to escape persecution, and he ministered there, baptized great numbers of people into the faith. But the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, it kind of stands apart from the rest of the narrative. You know, Philip's baptizing great numbers, Ethiopian eunuch. Later it goes into Paul and Peter and all the work they did. So when I read this article, it talks about things we can learn from the eunuch, but I wanted to go a little deeper than that. Now, it's not a major part of Acts. Acts is actually 28 chapters and 1,007 verses. The story is 13 verses, so it's basically 1.2% of the book of Acts. So Philip had been baptizing and converting in Samaria. I'm going to go ahead and read this now, Acts 8, 26 to 39. Oh, and there's my map. There will be a geography quiz at the end of this. Philip and the Ethiopian. So I'm starting at Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, not sure why I'm getting feedback. And the eunuch said, Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, should I be doing something different? I hear a lot of ringing. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, in the past, when I've read this story or thought about it, if I thought about it at all, it's like, oh, well, these two guys meet on the road and Philip evangelizes him. But there's really a lot more to it than that. Now, what's an Ethiopian doing in that area anyway? And where is Ethiopia? So I had to get out my globe and take a look. So I brought my visual aids. Had to dust my globe off, too. So, basically, on this globe, the road where the meeting took place is here, and Ethiopia is down here. And then I thought, well, how far is that, I wonder? And it took me a long time trying to find it on this globe, but it says every inch is 660 statute miles. I'm not sure what a statute mile is, but we'll just say miles. So then, okay, well, how many inches is this? I have my flexible ruler, so I can check that. Well, it's at least 2 inches, 2 1/4. So we're talking over 1,200 miles here. So the fact that the Ethiopian was even in the area is kind of amazing. That's quite a trip. 1,200 miles by chariot. Probably some of it on foot, too. I don't know. I don't know how long that takes. But actually, the Ethiopia that they're referring to in the biblical times isn't where Ethiopia is now. It's actually, they call it the Upper Nile or Upper Egypt. Can you put our map back up, please? So actually, Upper Egypt is down here, because the Nile flows from south to north. So upstream, is south of Egypt. So it's probably in this area here. So it's not as far away as I, you know, at first said by looking at my globe. Still a pretty good distance. Put this away. On the outline sheet and the map are courtesy of Bill Dempsey. He asked me to send him the bullet points, and I asked about a map of the world, known world in biblical times, and that's where this map came from. But I had a brief bit of panic this morning. It's like, oh, I don't think I covered all those, but I did. So what can we learn from the Ethiopian? You know what? I did not begin with a prayer. It says, begin with a prayer right here, and I didn't do it, so I'm going to do it right now. Lord, we just thank you for this time together, a time to worship, a time to learn. I just pray that you would, give me the words that you would have me say about this portion of the Bible, and just pray that you would bless everyone in this room. Thank you. Amen. I didn't think I'd be nervous, but I am a little bit. So what do we learn about the Ethiopian eunuch? He said he was actually the treasurer in charge of the royal treasury for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. Now, Candace, it turns out, was not the queen's name. It's a title, kind of like Caesar. But he was a trusted official, and he was in charge of the treasury. So he had to be trusted by the queen, by the government, because, let's face it, if you don't trust your accountant, you get a different accountant. Or if you don't trust your financial advisor, you find a different one. So he was a trusted person. He was educated. He was reading out loud. Most people couldn't read in those times. So he definitely had been educated. He knew how to read. And he was a seeker. So the first bullet point I had was he was a seeker. He had been to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. But wait a minute. If he went to Jerusalem, why would he do that, being from Ethiopia? It's believed he was a convert to Judaism somewhere along the line. So he went on a pilgrim to Jerusalem to worship. Now, people could convert to Judaism. They could go to Jerusalem to worship, but they couldn't go in the temple. He was basically a Gentile convert. And the fact that he was a eunuch, he wouldn't be seen as pure. So they could go worship in Jerusalem, just not go into the temple. But he was a seeker. He'd been to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. He's on his way home. He's still reading from Isaiah. He wants more. He wants to understand. Because when the Spirit leads Philip to talk to him, Philip asks, "Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "Well, how can I if no one explains it to me?" So he wanted to know more. He was humble. He was a humble man. He admitted he didn't know it all. He wasn't insulted when he was asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" You know, and we look at the behavior of the Pharisees in that time. It seems like most of them would not appreciate being asked if they understood, I mean, because they had all the answers. Well, this guy's saying, "I need someone to help me. I need someone to teach me." So he definitely was humble. He's willing to admit he didn't understand. And let's face it, when we're humble, we're teachable. If we're all full of ourselves, we don't listen to other people as well. But when we're humble, we're willing to take advice, to take guidance. So Philip begins right where the man was, reading in Isaiah, and he told him the whole story of the good news and salvation. And then the Ethiopian, he saw the cross of Christ. He got it. He wanted to be a part of it. The part of Isaiah that he was reading was Isaiah 53, the lamb to the slaughter. So Philip started where he was, told him the good news of Christ, and the prophecy fulfilled. Philip was able to explain to the Ethiopian how Christ fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah that he'd been reading. So he saw the cross of Christ, and he acted with urgency. They're riding along, they come to water, and he's like, "What prevents me from being baptized right now?" So he didn't waste any time, didn't wait for the monthly baptism service, or annual. He wanted to be baptized right then. He stopped the chariot. He was baptized in water. He and Philip got into the water, went down into the water, came back out of the water, symbolizing death, burial, and rebirth in Christ, the symbology of baptism. He wanted to be a part of that. And he became a Christian. He was proud to be in Christ and to be saved. It says at the end of this, he went on his way rejoicing. So he was going to tell everybody he knew because he was rejoicing. And through him, it is thought the gospel was spread into the heart of Africa. In one of the books I was looking at, they said, well, we can't really trace the church in what is now Ethiopia back to him directly through history. But in the 4th century, missionaries were sent into that region, and there was already an early version of Christianity there. So where else did it come from? You know, that's kind of what caught my attention. Let's look at Philip a little bit. Philip was obedient. He was in Samaria, baptizing great numbers of people into the faith, but an angel of the Lord told him to take the road from Gaza. So he did. He didn't question it. And in some ways, you know, if you're an evangelist, that might seem like a demotion, but no, he followed the Spirit's leading, followed the angel's leading. He went up to the road, and he ran to the chariot. So I'm thinking the chariot might have been moving. Don't know for sure. But he had to run to get there. And the gospel was spread everywhere Philip went. So he had been in Samaria. He's now talking to the Ethiopian. And at the end, it said he appeared in Azotus and then Caesarea. It is thought he remained in Caesarea, and his ministry blazed the trail for Peter's ministry later. So the thing that struck me about this, as I got to thinking about it, was this a chance meeting? I say the answer was no. The Ethiopian was in the area because he'd been to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. An angel told Philip to take the road. The Spirit told Philip to go to the chariot. And the Ethiopian was reading aloud, which actually was common practice then, according to some of my books that I was looking at. Philip was moved by the Spirit to go to the chariot, and afterward, Philip appears in Azotus after this whole episode. So, and the Ethiopian was a man of power and influence. It wasn't just a guy he met on the road, a very influential person in his own area, in his own government. So this was a person who could spread the word. And through him, the church was spread throughout Africa. And I call this a supernatural event. He was told by an angel to go to the road. He was led by the Spirit to go to the chariot. And at the end, it just said he appeared in Azotus. It doesn't say he went there. It just said he appeared there. So it's some thinking that, you know, he was basically whisked away by the Holy Spirit and taken to Azotus. And actually, this conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch fulfills prophecy. In Isaiah 56, 3 through 8, I'm going to read that, and it talks about the opening of the Gospels to other people groups. So Isaiah 56, the heading on that in my Bible is Salvation for Others. But 56, 3 through 8. Let no foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name. Better than sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. So this passage in Isaiah is basically saying that, prophesying the fact that the good news will spread to other people, not just the Jews. And you know, was the Ethiopian Jewish or not? He wasn't Jewish by descent or by his family heritage, because he was a foreigner. He was a converter, a conversion to Judaism. That's why he wanted to be there in the first place. But again, I say this is a supernatural event because of the way this played out, and this is certainly more than I've ever thought about this story in my life. So, that's pretty much all I have. One more thing is this favorite thrift store of mine where I buy my books, some books. Well, they stack them up. They measure the stack, and they're 40 cents an inch. So I think this is about 2 cents. So today I gave you my 2 cents worth. Thank you.